What's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the In the End Zone podcast. Just a quick heads up before we jump right into it. You can find this recording as well as some of our previous recordings on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Media on both of those sites. Be sure to follow us on our social media pages. We regularly post on Instagram. You can find us by searching at In the End Zone podcast on Instagram. So thanks for watching this and enjoy the rest of the episode. Peace.
Oh, yo, what's happening, fellas? Here we go. Round two. We're a little discombobulated right now. I think a couple of us have had some tough days. Keaton, how's your week been?
Yeah, week's been great. Your day's been
kind of shitty, but how's
your week been? Week's been great. For my coworkers watching this, I love my job. I love my branch. I love my coworkers. Nothing makes me happier than showing up to work and feeling respected at my position. So that's life's good. You know, I can't complain. I love commanding the respect of my coworkers to trust me to do my job. So
it looks like you're back from vacation though. How was it? It was pretty good.
Yep, it was good. It was good. Termites gone.
Yeah.
Nice. And termites.
The termites.
They're cooked.
Oh, that's funny.
Ant, how's your week?
Shut up, Zach. It was good. Okay. Weekend was great. You know, Zach and I, we had some guests visiting us. We had Mr. Ethan Dreger. We had Mr. Mitchell. We had, who else do we have? I'm forgetting. Stewie. It was a good time. We hung out. We went to the beach, went to some bars. It was a good time. And that's pretty much it. I mean, yeah. Mish me.
Today, you know, I do need to ask, and we might cut this, but grip strength, man, that is a word that eludes you because you two-fingered a glass and had to fucking pick it up with another hand. And
it was heavy. It was a heavy glass. I'm sorry. I don't go to the gym anymore. I'm sorry. I'm not as strong. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. That one was pretty embarrassing.
That was pretty brutal.
It was bad. It was bad. I know.
For those who don't know, this is essentially Anthony. This is what he did. He put two fingers in a cup and then immediately had to hold it to drink it.
I will say, to
his defense, it looks like a heavy glass.
To his defense, these are chalices. They are like legit chalices that have 2.5 beers in them.
Yeah.
He was full completely. He went to do it and then he had to grab it like this. He's a master at grabbing the shaft like that, you know? So, I mean, it was just natural for him.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes you got to do what you got to fucking do, you know?
Yeah, but you're looking like Jacoby Brissett out there. I mean, it just was not ideal.
Yeah.
Not ideal.
Anyway, Zach, how's your race? Yeah,
it was a good weekend, honestly. I had a lot of fun. Got a little too hammered. And to be honest with you, I'm still recovering. I am exhausted. Yeah. But Monday was decent. Today, not so good at work. But, you know, you live and you learn. This is adulting and keep moving forward. However, I'm ready to talk some football and not say what I said earlier, but I am happy because the 49ers got a win, although almost had a fucking heart attack yet again. Almost had a heart attack yet again.
NFC West special right there.
We'll get into it.
All right. I do want to point out one more thing. I do want to point out one more thing that we all did. Keaton, I'm not too sure if you are aware that we did this, but we actually went to the Chargers game.
You guys all bought a fridge? Oh, just me.
Oh. Okay.
No. But we all went to the Chargers.
We went to the Chargers game for $20 and we saw the MVP play, which was cool.
Yeah, we got to see Will Levis get sacked alive. It was awesome.
Yeah. And Stewie had a parlay that did not hit
MVP
because Will Levis did not throw an interception, which was, I think, the lock that I thought was guaranteed for that game, but didn't happen. Oh, yeah. We got to watch MVP Herbert throw the ball and get a pretty convincing win.
I guess I didn't watch the same week of football you did, but that's okay.
Oh, no. So. I mean, look up the stats. You'll see it in the intro. I'll be speaking facts in this intro.
Yeah, I don't
always spoken facts.
Yeah. Yeah, sure you better. Have. Sure
yep.
you have.
Yep.
Yeah. How about Caleb Williams, by the way?
Green 18. Red 48. Settle down. Wide 80. Sit hut.
We suck. We suck. Get rid of Belichick. Get rid of Mac Jones. Get rid of our entire receiving core.
You guys are 2-8.
That's what I thought.
7-2-8. It doesn't matter. We still suck.
Yeah. So Seahawks played the Ravens. Final score was 28-25. Geno Smith, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Not really much to write home about that game. Just right.
This is a
I don't think Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback in the NFC.
Are you putting Justin Herbert over Jared Goff?
Yes.
It was like an interview for like a new podcast company. Called Brazzers. I mean, you could see I'm literally in the I'm in the headquarters right now, dude.
Hold on.
I'm sorry. You asked me to look up the stats, and I was really expecting to be like, holy shit, 400 yards in a week, 164 yards and 1 touchdown in passing.
Yeah, he played great.
Ooh.
He had a passer rating of 123.1 and did not throw 5 interceptions.
Shut up.
And he did throw 5 interceptions.
Hey.
All right.
Yep.
Hey, man. Anyway. Sorry. And they blew him out.
Yeah.
But if you guys don't know, that's the facts I was talking about.
Wish Herbert would blow you out.
Again, is still not a top 5 quarterback in the NFC.
Yeah.
And Justin Herbert is much better than Jared Goff. But we'll get into that later because I have a full segment that I just want to rant on with Jared Goff. So let's get to it.
All right. Well, going into week 10 of football, Bengals playing the Ravens in Baltimore. Baltimore walks out with a pretty convincing win. Final score on that game, 34-35. I don't know, man. Might be over for the Bengals. Who knows? What more can you ask of Joe Burrow, man? Heading into Sunday, our first morning game, Patriots play the Bears. Oh my God, in Chicago, Drake May might have actually gotten a coach fired. Pats win that game 19-3. Bears, 27 straight possessions without a touchdown. Moving over to the Giants, who played in Carolina against the Panthers. Bryce Young has his second win in a row for the first time in his NFL career as they beat the Giants 20-17. Broncos played the Chiefs. Broncos 14, Chiefs 16 on a game-winning field goal. Just kidding. Game-sealing blocked field goal for the Chiefs, who continue to use dark magic to win their games. Moving into Washington at FedEx Field, the Steelers played the Commanders. And fellas, I've called it. The Steelers are legitimate. They win 28-27 in a dogfight, man. Vikings at Jaguars. Final score on that, 12-7. We're going to get a little bit more into that game as we move forward. Falcons playing the Saints. Saints coming off of a recent firing of their head coach, Dennis Allen. They came out and they looked rejuvenated. They win that game 20-17 against the Falcons. Moving down the list, we have Niners at Buccaneers. Niners barely escape with this win. 23-20 is the final score. Ugly, ugly, ugly game all the way around the board. Christian McCaffrey, Ricky Pearsall, those are probably the names you want to talk about this game. Moving down, the Bills played the Colts. Flacco magic might be over because the Bills came in. They took care of business. 30-20 was the final score on that. Moving forward, we got the Titans at the Chargers. Zach was just talking about this game. Chargers take a commanding 27-17 win in that game in SoFi Stadium. And then moving down the list, we have an NFC East matchup that really was a dog. I mean, an absolute ass whooping. Eagles played the Cowboys. Final score on that is 34-6. That's all I can say about Dallas. The only good thing about them are their cheerleaders. Jets playing the Cardinals in Arizona. Cardinals put up a massive, massive win. 31-6 is the final score. I don't know what you want to say about the Jets anymore, but Aaron Rodgers, it's probably over for him. Sunday night football, the Lions get probably their best win of the season, overcoming Jared Goff's best game of his career. Final score in that game was 26-23. I'm not going to lie, the Texans, hot trash. Let's just say it right now. And Monday night football, I called it, fellas. I called it. Dolphins beat the Rams in SoFi Stadium, 23-15. Matt Stafford doesn't have a touchdown. Fellas.
Before we get into it, I want to say a couple of things. Number one, props to you, Keaton, on two things. One, the Texans, because you've been saying all year, and, you know, I agree with you to a certain
extent. Point. Yeah.
And I think that extent has gotten to the point where I believe in it fully, and I am completely on that side now. And then number two, that game with the Steelers, you called that one completely, and I thought they were going to lose by probably 7+. The Steelers are legit. Russell Wilson's playing like a top 15 quarterback, and you called it, Keaton. And then the other thing I wanted to say, and I was going to say this, but I didn't want to interrupt you, the Eagles versus Cowgirls wasn't much of a matchup. That team is so in trouble. So in trouble. Yes. And then we can actually get into some of our games.
I do want to get into one of the games first, Keaton, if you don't mind. It's actually that Steelers and Commanders game, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Go ahead. I understand that you called it, but I do want to give out a crazy stat actually that I showed Zach about this. And I have it right here in front of me. It says here that Russell Wilson is currently just 2 touchdowns away from having the most touchdowns in a season for a Steelers quarterback since Big Ben retired. Yikes. He has only played 3 games, by the way.
Well, I mean, they really haven't had a quarterback since Kenny Pickett, Dwayne Haskins, Mitch Trubisky. You go down the list and it ain't pretty, I'll tell you that. Look, I mean, say what you will. I said this and look, I mean, who had this? I keep saying this. Who had this on their bingo card? The Commanders were not supposed to be this good. You know, the Commanders are having a 2023 Texans type run. But I think the Steelers made the right decision in starting Russell Wilson, and maybe not so much because he stretches the field like Justin Fields can, but because Russell Wilson finds ways to win. And you can trust the confidence in his ability to win you games when it matters. And man, he can just take the lights out of a defense when he throws that deep ball. And we saw it several times in the game, man. And I don't know. It's a huge win. Huge win. I think the Steelers are just
huge.
They keep getting doubted.
Easily the biggest.
They keep getting doubted. And man, I really expect that to be a really fun matchup for years to come if the two teams stay like they're playing. So well, look, and I'm gonna let you talk a little bit about this because I mentioned this our first Sunday morning game. Drake May played his other rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams, and I'm actually pretty sure that Drake May outperforming Caleb Williams is the sole reason why Shane Waldron got fired. So in a roundabout way, Drake May actually got an offensive coordinator fired. How do you feel about that?
That's fantastic. This is fantastic, boys. I'm pulling up the stats right now for the comparison between Drake May and Caleb Williams right now. But I'm just going to point out, I just want to say right now, I love what Drake May is doing right now. I absolutely love the energy right now he's bringing to this team. And here are the stats right here, first off. Drake May, 15 for 25, 184 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. And then you have Caleb Williams, who went 16 for 30 and 120 yards, no touchdowns and no interceptions, but 9 sacks.
Huge.
Against our defense, our pass rushing defense is not good. It's not
bottom in the league.
It is bottom in the league. And the fact that we were able to, get through that Bears O line. Granted, yes, Bears O line is not great at all. I think this has been well established since
Caleb Williams
one of the season. And
a scrambler.
Yes, he is. And I think he panics too much in the pocket. And there it is. That's all you. It was easy money for the Patriots at that point. It was game over.
Yeah.
I loved every second of it. I loved every second of hearing about the game, watching it. I was currently driving everyone to the Chargers game. So Zach had the Patriots game up on his phone and he was giving me updates and everything while everyone else was watching the Niner game. So I didn't really get to watch it too much, but Zach was constantly updating me with everything. Mm-hmm. I was just happy the entire drive. But yeah, no, very proud of what the Patriots have been doing. I'm glad it was a good win for them. Drake May is playing really good right now for being a rookie and starting his debut in the middle of this season. So I'm happy about it. I see a good future right now for the Patriots.
He's really looked the part. He has.
Absolutely.
He's looked great. He's looked great.
Zach, I'm going to let you speak your mind on this because I'm sure you do have something on it. However, I did have a crazy stat, and I'll probably have a crazy one later, but this is one of the craziest I've ever seen. Bears rookie Caleb Williams is the lowest completion percentage in the past 15 years of any NFL quarterback on throws of 15-plus yards. Williams ranks dead last at 468th of 468. Okay.
I have a couple things I want to say.
Not great.
Number one, I don't think Drake May was the sole reason he got fired. He has been off.
I know.
We'll talk about that later. Drake May has looked fantastic. I mean, realistically, he has looked like probably the best rookie quarterback for the first couple of starts compared to, you know, the rest of the quarterbacks that have started the first couple of games. Drake May has not looked great. And I say that not based off the whole season, but like based off the first five starts, you can make a case that Drake May has had the best starting or first five games starting as a quarterback compared to the other rookie quarterbacks in his class, right? Or he's up there. So if he was to start the whole season, he would definitely be a candidate, but he's playing extremely well. Caleb is not, and that offensive line is going to get him killed. Honestly, and I get it, Shane Waldron, he's fucking ass, and he has been ass all year. He's a terrorist with some of the play calls that he really does call, specifically in the red zone. But that offense is not going to change because they fired him. Like, they are going to struggle and continue to struggle because they have a college offensive line out there. Like, bad. Like, a CFL type of offensive line. Like, easily the worst in the league.
Yeah.
And like Anthony said, you guys got 9 sacks and you guys don't have a premier pass rusher. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't even have like a B-tier pass rusher. Like, no, honest with you, you guys have one of the worst pass rushers in the league, which is, you know, crazy to say as a Patriots fan and a guy that's watched the Patriots as good as they've been, as dumb as they've been. But those are my two takeaways from it. And then I wanted to find the stat and I was looking it up earlier and that's why I was on my phone. Can't find it, but I saw it with George Pickens and Russell Wilson. And I don't want to quote it, but I think this is what I saw. Since Russell Wilson has been the starter, and you know, it's been a couple of games now, George Pickens leads the league in vertical yards. And when I say vertical yards, typically when a receiver runs either vertically or horizontally, they'll do like an out and or like an in or a post or something like that. Vertical yards, I'm saying more so just like a deep ball, like a Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. And he is leading since Russell Wilson started the league with 337 yards. George Pickens right now, I want to look this up because this is pretty insane to me. He is averaging 90 yards while Russell Wilson has been the starter, and he has 639 yards on the season. And in the last three games, he has 300 or four games. How long has Russell Wilson been the starter? Four games now?
Four games.
In the last four of them, he has 337 of the 639 in deep ball throws. So Russell Wilson is opening up that offense. That offense actually looks like a decent offense, and they're just not going to be carried by their defense, which has been the case when Mike Tomlin has, you know, been 9-8 for his whole career. This offense actually looks like kind of a Big Ben offense. It opens up. You know, you can kind of rely on this offense, and they can run the ball with two pretty decent running backs. So the Steelers are fun to watch. I've been wrong about them. Keaton, you've been right, like I said. And Drake May, like I said, Anthony, I think you got your guy. Realistically, I think he's been the second best quarterback in that rookie class. I don't even think he's really in comparison. And I think Bo Nix is good, but I think Bo Nix's wins and the way he's playing is a little bit deceiving. If you really dive deep into his stats and the way that he's being rated right now, it's not as good as that team looks.
Yeah.
But I think they are 5-5 when they were probably estimated to get 5 wins this season. So
yeah,
you can't really shit on them too much. But I'm assuming you wanted me to go into the Niners versus Bucks game, Keaton.
Sure, if you want.
I'm a Niners fan.
No.
Look, man, and I was going to save this for the rant with the Lions and stuff like this, but I'm already kind of in a ranting mood, so I'm just going to get into it. The Niners now are 5-4, correct? What's our record?
6-5, 6-4.
No, we're not 6-4. We had a bye week, so
5-4.
5-4. Yeah, we are 5-4, second in the NFC West. We've lost a game to the Cardinals, so they have the tiebreaker. However, like I said in the beginning, before we cut this, because it was a little bit sus what I said, this is when we get to the point where pretenders continue to be pretenders, and it really comes out, and contenders show that they're contenders. The Niners right now have an identity that does not show that they're a contender, which is extremely hard for me to say because I'm a 49ers fan, and I'm waiting for them just to kind of turn it around, but they're not. They haven't turned it around, and the big thing was, oh, we're getting CMC back. CMC does not play defensive line. CMC does not play special teams. CMC does not coach us. CMC played fucking great in his season debut. He played fantastic. I don't care what anyone says. He looked as explosive as he did last year, MVP form again, and he was pissed that he didn't get the ball, rightfully so. I mean, I think if you're ready, you don't ease him into it, especially in a close game, but I understand why they did it. But again, our identity right now is that we win sloppy games against decent teams, and we lose when we play good teams because of mistakes. And again, we saw it yet again for the fourth fucking time this year. We choked a 10-point lead. Fourth time this year. Went down in the fourth quarter, and Brock Purdy had to fucking beat Brock Purdy. And he's done great this year. And realistically, I think this was his best game of the season for sure. The game-winning drive was something that was, you know, one of those things that we've seen Brock do, but it's almost coming to the point where you kind of can expect it from him, which is nice as a 49ers quarterback, because, you know, we didn't say that with Jimmy. But yeah, like I said, man, there's just an identity with a lot of these teams. Steelers, they're going to fucking out physical you. That defense is the best in the league. And Russell Wilson's going to open up the playbook. Who else has an identity? The Chiefs legit don't start out hot every single fucking game and then just grind you down for the whole game and out-coach you and out-special teams you. Again, every single team that's decent at this point, they have an identity. The Ravens, they can beat you the fuck up on offense in any way, right? 49ers have an identity of being sloppy, not being coached well. For some reason, Kyle this year is not coaching well. Red zone offense being the worst in the league and special teams being the worst in the league, which are four things that is not a recipe for success. And again, I'm not going to call them a pretender, and I think that they could turn it around, but everyone thought, you know, CMC would come back and all those problems would go away, and they didn't. So, like I said before in the past, even with the Cowboys, when we beat the Cowboys, yes, I'm excited that we got a win just because I'm not depressed, but I'm not excited with how the team is playing and realistically the trajectory of this team. Like, I don't want to say it seems like it's kind of over, but like I said, nine games in, you have an identity. The trajectory of this team is not positive. It's not a contender, and that's tougher to say than typically is, because at this point, I would say there is hope. I don't want to be, you know, completely pessimistic, but like I said, the trajectory is not too good. And, you know, there is a little bit of a positive with CMC coming back, and, you know, we can potentially make a run, but I just am not, you know, too happy with what I have seen. So it's tough as a 49ers fan, especially when you know that you have all the talent and all the coaching in the world, but they just can't put it together for some reason in a full game. And that's been the story of this year so far. And that's why we're 5-4 and not winning a division that is not very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, that's pretty much our, news of the week. A recap of the week, I should say. Let's go ahead and jump into some crazy shit that happened over the week, shall we? Mm-hmm. We've talked about it several times today. Shane Waldron, I mean, look, you guys heard me rant about him last year when he was the offensive coordinator for the Seattle Seahawks, and I massively felt like he was the main reason that Geno Smith was, well, not really the Geno Smith that we saw the year before. We let him go, and the Chicago Bears, who are planning to draft Caleb Williams, say, hey, we'll take him, you know, veteran guy. They fired him 10 games into the season.
A veteran guy that should not get another start.
Really, really nine anyway. Games into the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to see the stat. I believe it was 22 straight possessions without scoring a touchdown was what they were putting up. Obviously, they allowed Yannick Ngakoue and a Patriots defensive rush that really doesn't have much going on other than him to sack Caleb Williams nine times. And Yeah, I mean, one of the worst offensive coordinators I have personally ever seen over the last 2 years. And he's gone, man. And we say this because it doesn't really end there. Obviously, Caleb Williams stinking it up the way Caleb Williams has stunk it up over the last couple of weeks has been really surprising because he started out so bad and he picked it up. And I mean, look, according to multiple sources, there's veteran Bears players who have repeatedly and reportedly requested that the team bench rookie quarterback Caleb Williams for Tyson Bagent. Now, I think that Tyson Bagent is a decent quarterback. What I think that they're trying to do is to protect Caleb Williams because this team is a lost cause and they're not going to perform, but also because of the fact that Caleb Williams is just simply not ready. And I don't know if I need to see more because he regressed, progressed, and is now regressing even further. And he just looks like a shell of his former self from 4 weeks ago. I'm going to let you guys take away with what, you know, talk away about what you guys want to, you know, figure out about what's going on here in Chicagoland. But all signs point to disaster. I would not be shocked if Matt Eberflus is fired at the end of the year. And I don't know. Who knows what they're going to do?
He's for sure getting fired. But Anthony, sorry.
Yeah, no, you're good. I will say first off, before I get into it just a little bit, you got to feel for Bears fans. Truly, you got to feel a little bit bad for them. Like this, definitely heartbreaking. Like Caleb Williams is they were looking at him like, this is our guy. This is what we need to do. And it's clearly not just working. And I'm just going to repeat real quick of what I said earlier, just a few minutes ago. He scrambles a lot in the pocket, but he panics way too much. And I just think he blanks out and I don't think he necessarily knows what to do then. And you can't have someone like that in the pocket like that. You can't get someone who gets too frazzled and too rattled up too quickly. He's not hitting his targets all the time. He's consistently making bad throws. I don't know what exactly they need to be doing differently with Caleb. I don't know if it's strictly just the offensive line that they need to fix, but it something's really not clicking over there. And I can't really tell you what exactly. I'm just looking at what he's seeing, like almost like what he's seeing, right? Like, you know, he's seeing these guys coming after him and he's getting too rattled up and then bam, he's done. Can't get the ball out. Or if it's strictly just the offensive line because they can't make a block.
That man's seeing ghosts. That's what he's seeing.
He is seeing ghosts.
This is eerily reminiscent of Sam Darnold with the Jets.
Yes, I am very shocked that he has not been hit out of a game yet, is what I'll say. The amount of times that he gets hit in a game is like actually insane. And I will say this, at USC, I think one of the better things, if not the best thing that this man had, was the ability to make a play out of nothing. To scramble, to get around, to not get hit. He is getting demolished in the NFL. Don't know if he lost a step. Don't know if he's as athletic as he was offered to be or as his draft stock said he was. But he does not look like he can get around as much as we thought he was going to. And I think a part of it, too, is when you can't step up into routine plays because, number one, your mental health is just not there because you're not playing great. And number two, you get hit pretty much every other play. You're not going to hit these. And I think that's the outcome that we're seeing. He's not as athletic as he thought he was, or he's not as mobile as he thought he was, or that his draft stock told us he was. The film in college was a little deceiving because obviously they're, you know, not as good of athletes as the NFL. And realistically, when you get hit 90 fucking times, it's hard to throw a football. It's hard to fucking throw football. And when you get hit the first play of the game, boom, done. You miss a throw. Not good. You start off not hot. And then you get hit again the third time, the fourth time. And you go 1-for-3. Confidence is shot. And I think that's what's happening. Shane Waldron, also terrorist. He is an awful play caller. Should not get another fucking call. He should not get another call by another fucking team, let alone get another starting
call. He'll go back to college. He's going to go back to college.
Yes, yes, yes. I think so, too. Where he belongs, rightfully so. But yeah, dude, I don't think you should give up on Caleb yet because he's shown a little bit of, you know, that star ability that he showed in college in a couple of games, but the last couple of games, I mean, it's hard to defend him, and I'm kind of done defending him. I don't think that he is a complete bust yet, but I think that he is not the generational talent that a lot of us thought he was. And again, part of that was because he liked to scramble and was good at it, and he can't. He simply can't in the NFL. And part of it, again, is confidence. Part of it is because the offensive line is bad. Part of it is because he's not as fast and as athletic as he was in college. And that athleticism, realistically, is probably the biggest thing that we did not see transfer. And then, I don't know. I don't know what you do as a Bears fan, too, because – and I don't want to put blame on, you know, everyone, but that team is struggling pretty much everywhere just with a clicking vibe type of thing, you know. DJ Moore has literally walked off the field multiple times in the middle of a route. There's videos of DJ Moore running it out, does not get the ball. I almost said CJ. Caleb starts, you know, panicking in the fucking pocket, running around, scrambling, and then DJ Moore literally walks off the field. Walks off the field. It's like, who? Okay, if you can throw to one guy on your team, you're gonna want to throw to the wide receiver one that everyone said was supposed to be the wide receiver one. And he is fucking quitting on you mid-play. Like, who in their right mind is going to have confidence in their receivers or in that team in general, if that's the case? So I think it's a mixture of things. Caleb has been struggling, and that team is, I don't know, just a lot of problems and a lot of holes on that team for sure. But
sure.
We'll see.
Sure. Mm-hmm. But look, you know, talking about bad quarterback, let's talk about Dak Prescott, man. Probably the biggest disappointment of 2024 so far after getting, you know, Mr. Moneybags. Dak Prescott is expected to undergo season-ending surgery on his hamstring, man. I don't know what else there is to say. This team was doomed from the start of the year. I think it was all kind of unanimously agreed on, unless you were in the Dallas area. And I really blow it up, dude. Who's got it worse than Lakers fans right now, man? Because they're Dallas Cowboys right now are stinking up the building.
I want to say this. Last year, I thought it was a mistake that they signed him for $55 million. I said it, and I think it is 50. Maybe it's less, maybe it's more, but it's something around there. I thought it was a mistake, and this year we see it yet again. I mean, Dak hovers around that one interception to one touchdown ratio for multiple games. Last year, he had damn near an MVP season. But you see it every single fucking year. He can't win it in the primetime. Can't win it in primetime. And this year, it's not just in primetime. They start shitting the bed against teams that they should beat. CD is complaining about fucking curtains in the sun. It's like, dude, what the fuck? What the hell? Get your vagina out of your dick and fucking pull out your fucking penis. Because what in the world? That was the excuse he used to fucking Jerry Jones. To Jerry Jones. I could not believe that. Anyways, and Jerry Jones, look, man, he's got to fucking do something. Sell the team. Blow the team up.
He never will, though. Fire Mike McCarthy.
Do something. And realistically, there's a couple of guys that, you know, I would start the franchise with if I was to rebuild. Micah would be one, even though he is a little bit injury prone. And then probably CD. Get rid of everyone else. And, dude, I'm sorry. I understand that these Dallas fans, they like Dak because he's their guy, but he's not the guy. He's never been the guy. Even in college, we saw
it. He never was the guy.
And, dude, that team's fried. That team's fried for multiple years now.
It's over. It's over for them, dude.
It's over for Dallas.
Yeah. Ant, do you have anything on this?
No, but I will say I love watching the Cowboys lose. Not because, you know, not because I have a huge hatred towards Dallas. I kind of have a hatred towards Dallas, but that's not why. It's because every single time I go on TikTok, shout out to a depressed Cowboys fan for keep making the Dallas Cowboys songs.
Love it.
I love it so much. Keep making them. That's going to be a prime elite Dallas Cowboys album. Keep making them. For those who are listening right now, if you have not heard his latest one, he shits on all the teams now. No one is safe from a depressed Cowboys fan now. It's great. 10 out of 10. Keep the good work, bud. You got it. And you know what? Stay strong, man, because guess what? The Dallas Cowboys, they are frauds, and they suck.
I agree.
They're going to suck for a while.
You're going to suck.
It's fucking wild, man.
It's going to be a long.
Hey, what about Trey Lance though, man?
Oh, Trey Lance goes in. Made his debut. Look at that.
Trey Lance makes his debut. The first fucking pass goes for like a 4 fucking yard completion. The next play, he runs for 10 yards. The next one right after, interception. God damn it, Trey. Get one job.
Bust. One of the worst draft picks ever.
Horrible. But
luckily, it doesn't reflect on you guys anymore. What does reflect on you guys, the 49ers and cornerback D'Amador Lenore have reached a 5-year, $92 million extension. I mean, look, he's balling out. He was set to become a free agent last year, and he's now being considered the cornerstone guy with that type of contract. Right now, his $18.4 million per year average ranks 12th among NFL quarterbacks. Obviously, once the deal is structured, we won't know what the salary cap looks like. But man, he's played great in 2024. Got two interceptions, 6 passes, defensed 53 tackles, including 1 for a loss. And he's playing 99% of the team's defensive snaps. Zach, what are your thoughts on this so far?
I'm so fucking hyped. I'm so hyped. He has slowly turned into my second favorite 49er on the defensive side of the ball. And the reason I say that is because he's Mr. Consistent. Charvarius Ward has been struggling a little bit mentally, emotionally. And hey, shout out to you, man. You do what you need to do with what happened with your daughter. And I seriously am so sorry to hear that. Prayers to your family. But when talking about our secondary, he has been easily the best player. And he's been up there for the best defensive player that we have on our team with Fred Warner. If not Fred, it's him as the second best. So I'm super hyped. He started getting his flowers when he destroyed DeAndre Swift last year, and he has just risen and rise to the occasion every single fucking time. Every time he locks up wide receiver ones pretty much weekly, and D'Amador Lenore, man, I mean, from college, I thought he was decent. What a fucking draft pick that was. He has been balling out, and I honestly am beyond excited. Beyond excited to have him on our team.
How could you not be?
But yeah, dude, just keep balling out, and God, let's hope that you guys actually win some games and look decent doing it.
Yeah, I agree. Ant, do you have anything to add before we move on?
No, not really. Not on that.
All right, fellas, it's time for a little bit of fantasy.
Another depressing fucking week.
Make believe football. If you will, fantasy football. Anthony, I'm
that's a good reminder, honestly, because I'm getting depressed again because of some made up fucking football.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Ant, do you want to start it off with I mean, you were the only guy that really put on for the podcast. So
yeah. I beat Mitch, boys. I beat the best team in our league right now. Well, he's no longer the best team. But I don't know how I did it. But thank you.
Hard work and determination.
Right? Thank you to Kyler Murray. That brings me to my best players. Best players, plural, because I cannot leave the other one out. Kyler Murray with 28 points.
What fuck?
I think, honestly, boys, he definitely took a little bit of time off Call of Duty. Thank you, Kyler. I really appreciate it. And shout out to the Eagles defense. You guys killed them. Thank you. With 23 points. Worst player on the team, Jake Ferguson. Shocker, you know. There's the doubt. The Dallas, not you shocking. Know. Not shocking. Most disappointing, though, Saquon Barkley. I swear to God, Jalen Hurts, you need to freaking give him the ball. Terrorist. You need to stop doing the touch push. Exactly. It's getting ridiculous, man. Just give him the ball. Give him the ball, you know. God. But I beat Mitch 118 to 110. Only won by 8 points. It was close, but we got the job done. We're now 5-5, and we're in the number 5 spot in the league now. So we're back in the playoffs.
The win column.
There we go. Huge. Zach, Mr. Voisin, do you want to talk about your
team? I'll just make this quick. High loss again. Shocker. Scored 85 fucking points because I can't break 90 for some fucking strange reason. My team just fucking sucks. Besides Chuba Hubbard. He had 24.9 points after just signing that crazy contract that he got. Well-deserved because he's been balling. So I'm going to call him Chuba Daddy Hubbard because he had like fucking a fourth of my points. So yeah, that one's tough to swallow, but he's been great. Aaron Rodgers had 4.04 points, so he was my worst by a mile. And my most disappointing, I'm not even going to say the points, and this one's just bad, again, because my team fucking sucks. But I'm putting the most disappointing players as the two guys that didn't play that were supposed to, Nico Collins and Brian Robinson. Again, they've been out for 5 weeks, that is for Nico, and 3 weeks with Brian Robinson, and they were supposed to play last week. So you know it's pretty bad when I'm saying my most disappointing players are two guys that didn't even play. It was bad. You lost again. My team fucking sucks. I'm just hoping that I don't get in last and have to eat some wings.
Can you give us the clarification, by the way, on when you got the news when Brian Robinson was going to be out again?
8 a.m. right in the morning. Woke up. Second fucking straight week. Brian Robinson out. Hamstring. 8 a.m. How the fuck are you out right before the game? Tell me why. Why? Why are you telling me this right before the game? And then Nico. Nico, questionable, might play. His dude, throughout the whole fucking week, his stats went from 17.9 to 0 to 17.9 to 13 to 0 right before the fucking game. Nico Collins out. You know who I subbed him out for?
Who?
DeMarcus Robinson.
You want to know?
Oh, boy. Mm.
Mm. Yeah, wide receiver for the fucking Rams. Guess how much he had?
One?
No.
Three?
Yep.
Mm.
Marcus Robinson, 3.3 fucking points. So out of the guys that fucking played, that was the most disappointing after you averaged 20 in the last two games. Yeah, Marcus Robinson, he was the most disappointing. But my whole goddamn team was the most disappointing.
Yeah, I'm over. Sorry to hear
that. I'm over it. I just don't want to eat fucking hot wings. So win me a game when it matters, and I'll be okay
with it. I mean, I don't think you're going to have to eat hot wings. Although, I'm pretty sure we are doing a toilet bowl, so anything goes. Exactly. Look, I don't know what to say, man. I'm going to be 100% transparent here. I didn't watch literally a minute of football on Sunday. And therefore, because of that, I forgot to set my roster in all three of my leagues. And yeah, I put up 62 points. And hey, I mean, if there's a silver lining,
it's the way you said that.
I mean, it's disappointing. Like, I don't know. I got to be better, you know, whatever. But if it's any consolation, Amon-Ra St. Brown continues to be good at football. I'd like more than 18 points, but I can live with 18 points. He had 60 yards on 6 catches and a touchdown. Okay, not bad, whatever. Cole Kmet is by far my worst player on my whole roster. I cannot actually figure out if this guy wants to play football or if he wants to flip burgers at In-N-Out in 6 months. Because the way he's playing right now is like, hey, dude, I can go for 15 points to 20 points, and then I'm going to make you believe that I'm a starter. So you put me in, and then I'm just going to go no targets.
Oh, man.
I'm actually going to be on the toilet the entire game because no one's going to throw to me. So I go, you know what? They made it a big point, like, hey, we should have targeted Cole Kmet. Okay, all right. Yeah, okay, bounce back game. 3 points.
Yeah, thing is, I went through that exact same thing in the beginning of the year. Sam Laporta was sucking ass. I'm like, you know what? Cole Kmet's been pretty good a couple of weeks. Did the same thing, exact thing.
Played him when he was bad
and then benched him when he was good.
He's going to get passed around this league. What, Ant? What's up?
I was going to say, I do want to point out the fact, too, real quick. Yes, you scored 62 points this week, but you lost to our buddy who had 82.
Mm-hmm.
82, and he won.
I know.
The person with 82 points won.
Look. DK Metcalf has been out for 3 weeks. There goes my number one guy, Keon Coleman. I cannot get a read on him. The week I don't play him, he explodes against Seattle. And then I play him 2 points, 5 points. Oh, he's out. Woohoo. Yay.
Keon's weird, man. He's been having a weird season.
Keon Coleman is out. DK Metcalf has been injured. Brandon Ayuk is out for the year. And I, because of the Buccaneers defense and struggles on offense, Baker Mayfield isn't getting me nothing now.
My kicker, man. I can't rely on a kicker because I've literally traded a kicker every 5 weeks because he's either on bye or he gets injured. It is what it is. It is what it is. You know, I couldn't do anything this week. I couldn't do anything this week. There's nothing I could have switched in my roster that would have saved me. So I'm running on empty with this whole team. And I don't know. We go on from there.
I do want to mention one more thing.
What? What's up, brother?
Hey, Zach, if you and T. Lou, if you guys played this week, that would have been the matchup of the week.
Yeah, I've been close.
By 3 points.
85-82.
That would have been a nail grinder.
I mean, you would have won.
Nail biter.
Nail grinder. Nice.
Same thing.
Look, speaking of stats. You have
a crazy stat? Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of dominating stats.
Yeah. And you have one too?
Putting up insane numbers?
I gave up mine already for the Russell Wilson one.
Okay, I'm going to say the one that you said yesterday.
Okay.
Go ahead, Zach. I forgot about this.
So I got two. Yes. You know what? No, I'll let you say it. I'll let you say it.
No, go for it. It's fine.
Okay. You mentioned it. Amon St. Mm-hmm. Brown has been absolutely insane.
Oh, I love this. I know what stat you're talking about.
Amon-Ra St. Brown just broke the most consecutive targets caught with 31 ever in the NFL. 31 consecutive throws to him he has caught. That is absolutely nuts. And what's even crazier was Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions last game, did not play well, but still kept this streak alive. So shout out to Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's a fucking dog. He was great last year. He's great this year. That is my crazy stat of the week.
Actually, Jared Goff and CJ. Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions, right? Nope. CJ Stroud
didn't.
Too. They combined, they threw more interceptions than the Jets scored points, the Cowboys scored points, and the Bears scored points. So that was just kind of something that was
that's awesome,
kind of funny. And you can kind of look at it in both ways. You can go, man, that's horrible. Oh, wait, that's also horrible. Like, oh no, all around, it's a double whammy, funny little stat. Like, yeah. It's great.
Like I said earlier, I wanted to go into a little bit of a rant. I'll make it quick. Jared Goff, horrible in primetime games, sucks, and will be the reason why they don't win the Super Bowl.
Interestingly enough, he wasn't the reason why they lost. He wasn't the reason they lost the game because they didn't lose the game. So if anything, I feel like this team's better than they were last year because he can throw 5 interceptions and the team still comes back 23-7 and wins a game.
That's a mediocre team.
Hey, that mediocre team you had in your top 10 2 weeks ago.
We know this game. We know this game. We've seen this before.
Hey, those goalposts just I hear the grass moving a little bit as you move those goalposts.
No. Hey, even last week when we did it, we said that 7-14 could damn near be entertaining.
Yeah.
Texans, they didn't play great. But I also want to say this. All-time choke. Yeah, I've never seen that.
Yes.
Up there for sure, Chad.
And I don't know if this can be your crazy stat, Keaton.
No, I've
that game. Okay.
Nope.
A team that has turned the ball over 5 times has not won a game since 1970.
Nice.
Texans, you choked a game that has not happened since 1970.
Statagami.
Yeah. But Keaton, let's hear your crazy stat because we've all just
a couple crazy ones out there. Let's stay on this 1917 crazy or 1970 crazy stat. Yeah. Since the 1970 merger, 3 players have led the NFL in rushing attempts and yards per attempt. O.J. Simpson, 1995, Walter Payton in 97, and Earl Campbell in 1980. Through 10 weeks, the Ravens' Derrick Henry leads the league in both stats.
Himmy.
Both stats.
Man.
I have to say, that's probably the worst take I had all year. I really thought that Derrick Henry was going to stink up the building, and I thought that offense was going to become really one-dimensional. And what we're looking at is Derrick Henry probably winning, you know, running back of the year, if that was ever an award, and Lamar Jackson winning MVP. Neither of that going. I thought this was going to be the worst trade of the year.
So
holy moly, am I wrong?
I kind of have a hypothetical.
Hypothetical
time. If the Ravens do go and win the Super Bowl, and Lamar has 3 MVPs and a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP, because I'm assuming he'll probably win it. and Derrick Henry wins the Super Bowl and an offensive player of the year, which I think would be his second, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yes.
When do we start putting them two specifically in the all time in their categories?
Oh, I mean, Lamar Jackson,
top five quarterback of all time with a Super Bowl win? Is Derrick Henry a top five running back of all time? I mean, dude, Derrick Henry has been doing this since high school. There is no drop off. No drop off.
Yeah.
No drop off.
He's a 30-year-old
doing this. If they win it, both them ball out. I mean, both them got to be considered as a top five fucking player in their position of all time.
You know what?
I don't think that's a bad argument.
I wanna just say this real quick because it's funny that you bring that up. Let me go ahead and pull back up the stat that you're referencing, or the Derrick Henry thing, because when we talk about Derrick Henry leading in attempts. In 2022, Derrick Henry led the league in attempts. In 2023, Derrick Henry led the league in attempts. In 2024, Derrick Henry is leading the league in attempts. In 2019 and 2020, he led the league in attempts. Every year that he has led the league, it's been with almost 300 or more. He averages like 320 attempts a year.
Yep.
And
if you guys don't know, Derrick Henry is 6'3", 240.
Yep.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
And he's 30 years old and he's still doing it.
He is an alien. So shout out to them. Realistically, if the 49ers don't win it, I would not mind seeing the Ravens win it. I wouldn't. Anyone but the Chiefs.
Sure.
Yep.
Chiefs have a tough slate coming up.
They do.
Well, let's talk about some slates because we're going to jump into our NFL Week 11 predictions. Goodness. Thursday Night Football. Prime time, literally on Amazon Prime, Commanders at Eagles. I don't know. This might be the game of the week. I'm going to take the hot hand. Give me the Eagles, man.
I'm going with the Eagles. I'll say this. Brian Robinson Jr., if you don't fucking play, welcome to the fucking waiver wire because I am dropping your ass.
I'll take him. I'll take him. Devin Singletary. I have money.
Anyway,
well, hell yeah.
I think the Eagles are going to do it. And I don't want to say this, but I think the Commanders are going to start getting into some closer games. They had kind of a Linsanity run. I think that team is great. I just think some of these competitive games are going to be even more competitive now that they've lost. But I don't know. I think the Eagles are going to win. I have a sneaky, sneaky suspicion Saquon's going for 30.
Please.
I think he's going to go for 30 fantasy points. I mean, it would just make sense.
Mm-hmm. Ant?
I said Eagles.
Yep. Okay. Unanimous. We do that a lot. Sunday morning, Rams at Patriots. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of want to do it. I expect the Rams to bounce back. Zach, you love doing this.
Yeah, I'll go with
the Patriots. Okay.
I was gonna pick the Patriots just to have.
I know. But, you love doing it. You do it every year, every week.
This is
every year.
Have we?
I want to be. I'm going to be hopeful and I'm just going to pray. I'm going to keep praying for my prediction for the four wins. I'm going to say the Patriots, even though we are going to get clapped with. Yeah, no, we're done. We're toast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. On. Cinnamon Toast Crunch. This is,
I'm not gonna lie. This is a pretty good week of football.
NFC North matchup, Ravens at the Steelers, two of the best teams in football, two of the best teams in their division, in their conference, two quarterbacks who are Pro Bowlers. They're both playing like Pro Bowlers, right? I'm not gonna lie. I'm still gonna take the Ravens. I feel like that offense is just too much. But Steelers defense is legit. And
I have the Ravens as well.
Okay. You know what, though? As much as I've been on the Steelers, I would not be shocked if they win.
I don't know. That Ravens secondary, they love to have some fucking boofy-ass plays.
So. I know. Russell Wilson can take the lid off them.
Yeah.
Jags at Lions. Talk about a bounce-back game for Jared Goff. Give me the Lions. Come on.
Give me the Lions.
Yeah, not even worth our time. Browns at Saints. I don't know where to go from here. Give me the Saints. Give me the Saints because why not? Browns are famous. Jameis doesn't have it. This is one of the very rare weeks where a pair of 40-year-old quarterbacks duke it out for the bottom of the NFL leaderboard. Colts at Jets. This is just,
I'm going to go with guys the Colts with on this. I'm going to go with the Colts on this because I truly believe that the Aaron Rodgers experiment is officially over. I'm going to go with the Colts on this.
Sure.
Plus, I'm also a Jets hater. I hate the Jets.
This week is so, like, good and bad. There's such good games and then just horrible games like this.
Oh, we got great games this week.
Just give me the home team. Give me the Jets. I don't know. I don't like
I've got no faith in that offense. Vikings at Titans. Look, we kind of said this earlier. I feel like the Vikings are a little bit – I mean, I don't know if we actually said this, but I'm a little bit worried for the Vikings right now. Sam Darnold, 3 interceptions in his last game. I'm still going to take them because they're 7-2. I don't know about
they're
you.
They're not losing the Titans.
They're not losing to the Titans. There's no way.
The Titans are probably the third worst team in the NFL.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of the worst team in the NFL, Raiders at Dolphins. I mean,
Dolphins.
I'm just saying, Dolphins could make a little run here. They won that Rams game.
Yeah. It's not over.
Give me the Dolphins.
I'll be taking the Dolphins.
This would be such a Raiders game to win, though.
I know.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Textbook. Like, if you looked in the schedule, like, that's a textbook trap game.
Yeah.
Packers at Bears. This might be a blowout. Give me the Packers.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I think the Packers are going to win with, like, a last-second field goal. Dude, these games are always super close. Always.
Yeah.
But, yeah, give me the Packers.
I'm going to take the Packers as well.
Wow, we are so unanimous in everything.
I know.
Our afternoon games, Falcons at Broncos. This is going to be a good game.
Kind of where it starts to heat up a little bit.
Yeah.
Give me the Broncos. Why not?
I'll take the Falcons.
I think I'm going to have to go with the Falcons as well on this one.
Broncos are really good, though. I got to give the Broncos defense credit.
They can make a wild card, man.
I have to watch Seattle Seahawks play football again, unfortunately. They take on the Niners in San Francisco. Honestly, I'm going to take the Seahawks. I really am going to take the Seahawks. And mostly, I feel like there's a little bit of a culture shift that happened in the bye week. I'm going to ride that hot streak. So,
as in like a hope that there is?
No, they released Tyrell Dodson, who's one of their safeties, and he's leading the team in tackles, mostly because he's hasn't been a culture fit for the team. And I think Mike McDonald is sending a little bit of a message like, okay, I'm over it. No one is safe anymore. So if you suck, you're out. So give me the Seahawks.
Not taking the Niners. So give me the Niners.
If Jake Moody proceeds to miss every single field goal, then I will be taking the Seahawks. If he actually does, then yeah, I'm going to go with the Niners. 50-50 here for me. Honestly, a toss-up. DK Metcalf is out. I think I'm going to have to go with the Niners.
DK Metcalf is not out, by the way. Sorry.
You said he was.
No. He I was saying play. he's been out for he 3 weeks, play. But he's going to play.
Yeah.
He's going to play.
He's projected to play. Yeah.
He was supposed to play the last week, but they wanted to rest him for the bye. So he'll play.
All right. This is
what was it? A hamstring? What do you do?
Oh, he'll be fine. Yeah.
I will say if CMC wasn't back, I'd be taking the Seahawks. CMC is back now. And honestly, I think CMC is going to have an insane game, in my opinion. I think he's going to come in pissed from last week.
We shall see.
Keep Payton on the best team in the NFC. Man, this is a game right here. Chiefs and Bills.
This is the game of the week.
I'm doing it. Give me the goddamn Bills.
Bills.
Josh Allen, do it, please.
Dolphins relying on one man to save us all. That's Josh Allen.
Yeah. Yeah. Chef Kuso and Josh Allen need to join forces here. Sunday Night Football, Bengals at Chargers. I have the Chargers here, and I'm only saying that because Chargers have maybe the first or I'm going to say the second best defense in football statistically right now.
Statistically, they're the first.
Yeah, in all the categories. I think they like combine for first or second. But
Yeah.
Yeah, they're playing great.
I'm going to pick the Bengals on this one. Just I don't know why. I just feel like they're going to do it. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, they've been clicking a lot lately. They've been looking good. But I don't even think Zach needs to say, because I think everyone knows, the audience.
Nope. So
you're switching up for the first time this year, Zach. You can't do it now. We're in week 10. You cannot.
First time this year, I'm going to pick the team that goes against the Bengals. Give me the Chargers. And however, I'm kind of doing it in hopes that it's like a reverse karma psychology thing, you know, where the Bengals and the Bengal gods hear me and win this game and then go on a crazy run just like the Niners will. And then we meet in the Super Bowl and I don't look like a complete idiot.
Give me the Chargers. Our last game, I mean, dude, this could actually be like a really bad game. This like could actually be a really frustrating game to watch. Monday Night Football, we got the Texans at Cowboys. A little battle of the Lone Star State.
Why? Why is that a fucking primetime game?
Because the Texans were supposed to be really good, and the Cowboys were whatever.
Supposedly supposed to be good, too, in the regular season.
Yeah. This is our year. It's our year. Give me the Texans. CJ Stroud needs a big win.
Yes, he does.
Fellas, that's wraps on our week.
Send us away.
Just a quick little words of encouragement. If you love your job and you love your manager, stay working for them. You know, they're going to really appreciate it, and they're going to reciprocate the respect that you try and reciprocate back. So that's Keaton's crazy facts of the week.
I like that.
Thanks for tuning in. If you stuck this long, be sure to follow us on our socials. We'll see you next week.
Peace.
Fuck you, Cole Kmet. Peace.
Denver, late October last year. That was the last time they met until today. 35-yard field goal, Lux. Fraboni the snap, Riley the hold, Lux the kick to win it. Oh! Blocked! The Chiefs have won! The Chiefs have won!